present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. And the piano is Dave Lee, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, and if you're looking forward to another keenly fought contest of wit, memory and skill, then you should be tuned to Yesterday in Parliament. We're going to play I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue with Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton. And I'm here because it's half an hour out of the cold, so let's start with round one, which is called Censored Songs. Dave Lee at the piano will give each member of the teams an intro of a well-known song, and they have to sing it. But they have to censor, by means of a buzzer, any words which they consider will outrage public decency or frighten the horses. So we're going to start now with Barry Cryer, and Dave Lee, will you introduce a song to Barry?
Early one morning, just as the was rising, I saw a maiden in the valley below. Oh, don't me. Oh, never me. How could you a poor maiden so?
Now, Willie Rusty.
Post at the corner of the street.
Thank you, Willie. That's quite enough of that one. I think it would be invidious to give one team or another more marks than the others, so I'm not going to give any of them any. I'm going to say that this is where I introduce a round that's played at the end of the program, so that the teams have time to think of silly names for people arriving at the cleric's ball. And again, the Reverend Arnold Page of Castle Carey in Somerset has sent in that suggestion, and has also given us a couple of his examples to show the standard to which the teams have to aspire at the end of this program. His examples are, for instance, the Venerable and Mrs. Balls and their son, Canon Balls. Sister Mary LeCroix and her nephew, Evan LeCroix. They are teams. Start thinking now. And we come to a new game, which is called a right pair. In this round, one team pretends to be a pair of something, pepper and salt, or Burke and Hare, or Muir and Norden, or whatever, and they give the other team a clue, and they have 10 questions to guess, and our audience will be shown on a board here what it is they're trying to guess. And I hope in passing you'll show it to me as well. So, Tim and Willie, you're going to do the first one, and we await with bated breath the arrival of the board, which is now going to show the audience what it is.
We're going to guess it.
No, you're going to do it. It's going to be your. You've got to give them the clue. Barry and Graham are going to try and guess it.
And it's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
I hope.
Well, it's Willie's quite clean, and I'm quite small in many ways.
My heart bleeds, but will you give us a clue?
Barry and Graham, we've had the clue. See if we can get it in 10 o'clock.
Well now.
Willie's quite clean. Quite clean. Tim's.
Tim's small.
Tim's, yes.
Are you... Do we get to know if it's animal, vegetable or mineral or not?
All animal.
All animal. Human.
Especially on Saturday nights.
But that's not a clue.
Graham asks human.
Yes.
It's a pair of people.
It's
more coupling than a pair, but that's not really right either.
Oh, you've seen that version too. Willie is one character, and I am not entirely one character.
You're more than one. You're several people.
Yes.
Are you, in fact, not so much a pair as an eightsome?
Yes.
It's got to be Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Right.
Excellent.
And Barry and Graham got that one in six. So now it's your time to give the clue, Barry and Graham, and Tim and Billy, you have to guess. So first of all, your clue, Graham.
Our clue is old cars and TV series.
And they're Bangers and Mash. Bangers and Mash.
And they want to know if it's animal, vegetable or mineral.
Animal and vegetable.
Old cars and
TV series.
Which is which? Barry, are you old
Graham,
cars?
Graham is old cars and I'm
Graham's the clapped out old banger. And
Bangers and Mash.
Right, Tim and Billy. You got that in two. That puts the score now in a position where the tension is well nigh unbearable. In fact, it is unbearable, so I won't go further into that. And we go on to blues. And in this round, as you know, if you've followed this game for a long time, each team will give the other the topic for a blues, which they must then improvise, accompanied by Dave Lee at the piano. Barry and Graham, will you give Willie and Tim their blues, please?
The French Lessons Blues.
Lessons that I want.
Oh yeah.
I want, Willie won't.
I've wanted to speak French ever since I was in the funk.
Oh yeah, baby, I like that, baby. I saw a card in the newsagent saying French lessons second floor.
She said that'll be £5, dearie.
What do you say?
Well, I plumed a marton.
Well, Tim and Willie get off the mark there with 13. And it's your turn to give Barry and Graham their title.
The Opinion Poll Blues.
Wonderful.
Morning.
An early call.
And out of bed I did roll. Out of bed I did roll.
I really rolled out of bed.
I saw a horse holding up the telegraph wires. Bless my soul.
Bless my soul.
I said, horse, what are you doing? He said, you're not going to believe this. But I'm a gallop pony.
So that puts the teams pretty well ahead of each other. And we go on to the game, which is called, as you know, tag wrestling. In this round, I'm going to give each team the payoff of a story, and I shall then start one of you off telling the story to fit your punchline. And then when I feel like it, I shall press the buzzer, which sounds like this. In fact, it's not a buzzer, it's a bell this time, and it goes. And a member from the opposing team will have to take up that story, but make the story fit his punchline. And the first team to reach their particular punchline, if either of them are so lucky as to do that, will win the round. Now, Barry and Graham, your punchline, if you'll take it down, is this. The stock market panicked as Mrs. Driscoll's behind went west. You've got that one, and Tim and Willie, here's your punchline. The mare shrieked. That's a mare, Lord Mayor type mare, not a lady horse.
Lady mare.
As he felt her touch halfway up.
Oh, Hump, don't
finish, Hump, finish, please.
Ben Nevis.
Anticlimax.
All right. Now, Barry and Graham, you've had the longest to think of how to embark on your story, so will you start, please, working towards your punchline?
The stock exchange was in a turmoil. Who was this Mrs. Driscoll, they were all asking? Is she a front or is she a behind? Confusion reigned. Tellers and jobbers were rushing about on the tell and on all sorts of... all sorts of activities. And...
Willie.
Far away from the hubbub of the city. From the old lady of Threadneedle Street. Mrs. Driscoll's sister, Eva, was halfway up Ben Nevis. Clambering up towards the traditional yearly outing of the Corporation of Bootle. We used to set off to the top of Ben Nevis to celebrate certain things in old rustic ways, and, well, spring being what it is in Bootle, people like to dart up Ben Nevis, particularly if you're wearing mayoral robes.
Which they were not. Meanwhile, back with the old lady of Threadneedle Street, Mrs. Driscoll herself, panic broke out on the stock market as she brought in a small form of deer, gazelle, or antelope. It was, in fact, a hind. Get that bee hind out of here, cried leading stockbrokers of the day, with less wit than judgment.
And while you're about it, remove Mrs. Driscoll and take her to a place where she can be no longer recovered. I would like to announce, said the man in charge of the stock market, a story. I would like to tell a story about last year when I took part in the Ben Nevis...
Shut up, you old bore, they all cried at the stock market. We don't want to hear your Ben Nevis tales. What about Mrs. Driscoll and this hind that is running amok in the stock market? We cannot carry on our normal business. Suddenly, the hind lets out...
If what happens this afternoon on Ben Nevis ever hits the stock market, the pound will be down like a rock. It'll have a rotten day. They'll all be going around saying, what a rotten day the pound's had. My word, I wish I was halfway up Ben Nevis. Eva is secreting this enormous passion for the mare. But a sinuous hand began as they mounted. He was in front of her, a fortunate position for her to set off up his robes.
At about halfway along the terminal third of his fibula, a piercing scream rent the air, and the mare turned just in time to see Eva spiraling downwards to the base of Ben Nevis, never to be seen again.
Where am I, he said, where am I? And somebody said, you've just fallen asleep, you've woken up. He said, but she spiraled down, only a dream, they say. She's just behind you, and the mare shrieked as he felt her touch.
It was only a dream? Oh, what a relief. And then realized he was still asleep, and the only a dream statement had been a dream. Enough of this nonsense. Enough of this nonsense. He finally woke...
Actually, Barry's taken the words out of my mouth. Because in a kind of inadvertent spasm, I stopped Tim in the middle of the actual punchline, and I think he'd reached it. Don't you agree, audience, that we should give up?
Love it.
The whole program seems to have got into a serious vein, and we stay in it now for the round that we call simply opera. And it's a musical round, and I want you to sing a snatch of grand opera from a selected passage from a libretto which I shall give you. And Barry and Graham, we're going to start with you, and your words come from the Home Handyman, from the section devoted to fixing to walls and ceilings. Dave Lee will give you an introduction.
Do not take screws easily, and offer no anchorage, and the plywood is too thin to take a screw. Insert it with the wings folded back.
These will spring open off the other side of the board.
Sizes from 1/8 of an inch,
oh,
1/4 of an inch,
oh,
in diameter up to 2.5 inches long.
Push pivot arm through the hole and let it fall into a vertical position. Tighten it until the toggle is hard up against river side. Size is 1/8 of an inch.
1/4 of an inch diameter.
3 inches long.
3 inches long. 3 inches long.
Very moving. Now, Tim and Willie, your one comes from the Italian phrase book from the section devoted to miscellaneous expressions. I'll mark the page. Dave, can you give us a shortish introduction?
That's it, that's right. It's too much, it's too dear.
They have one mercato.
Quickly, slowly.
Look out! Attenzione!
Come in! Forward, back! On this side, on the other side.
Thundering glances.
I am an Englishman, Englishwoman.
Come!
It is not matter. I don't know anything about it. You are right, you are wrong. It doesn't work on the contrary. It is fine, bad weather. I think so.
Well, with that operatic performance, Willie and Tim are so far ahead that it's only for contractual reasons that Graham and Barry are remaining at the podium. We come to the round which is called Ad-Lib Poem, and as you know, I get the teams to make up a poem. I give them the first line of the poem, and each member must keep going until I ring the bell, and then a member of the opposing team must take over. This goes on until... Well, if you've any experience in this program... It's true to say that this goes on ad infinitum. And I'm going to give you the first line, so here it is. Belay, haul to, avast behind. We've got to catch that lugger. Incidentally, I mark here for poetic feeling, sensitivity, and the absence of rude words. Oh, Barry.
Yes.
Belay, haul to, avast behind, we've got to catch that lugger.
But first, let's not all dash away. We'll have some tea with sugar. We'll have a cup of tea, I cried, and perhaps some crumpets too. And then we'll go and chase the boat, but first I'm going to the loo. Thence I retired in my smart suit. It was so dapper and neaty. I found...
Neaty! Where's Neaty? So I hove me towards the Ilsen. Which, for advertising reasons, I shall refer to as a sweetie.
Excellent.
There I repaired. The boat adrift. I thought I'd have a read. Jogged through the manual of how to sail or how to plant some seed. I noticed that the boat was drifting towards the coast of Brazil.
I'll say that daunting prospect did make me feel quite ill. Thank you.
For that applause.
Brazil, I thought, a foreign land with strange and savage customs.
Well done.
And then I thought again some more. They also have tall busmen.
What?
Tall busmen? I thought to myself, thought I, in Brazil by the sea, can this be me that's talking? Is it really, really me? It was. I found out to my cost. And I'll tell you, my name is Lawrence.
Now I recall you very well. I met you once in Florence. You were a very sporty chap, so fond of games like rugger. But the thing that I always remember is you couldn't rhyme with lugger. How are you? How are you, Larry? Then I cried. How have things really been?
I heard you'd been the victim of a certain cardinal sin. Cardinal sin. Cardinal sin has been returned and is now back in the Vatican.
I must say, I agree with you. I hope I never see that rat again. But now accompany me.
I like Terence.
My lad. But now accompany me, my lad, to yonder hostelry. And there we'll drink the night away with 15 pints of tea. And when our tea has all been drunk and we are on the floor,
we'll shout out, maestro. Bring us here 15 pints more. After this, we had to go, if you know what I mean.
Behind me was a little chap I thought just looked like a gnome. But after 15 pints of tea, I went wee, wee, wee all the way.
Well, if that's not an artistic conclusion, I don't know what is.
Right, well, this is the point in the programme where I go home so that I can miss your announcements for the arrivals teams at the Clerics' Ball.
Mr. and Mrs. Bate and their daughter, Sally Bate.
Very nice. A quiet welcome, please.
They got it.
Another quiet welcome, please. For Mr. and Mrs. Chester Cathedral and their daughter, Wynne Chester Cathedral.
Sober up in the vestry. Here come Mr. and Mrs. Lations and their son, the Revelations.
Leap up and down and throw your gaiters in the air, if you will, for Mr. and Mrs. Bible and their newt, Estimate. Not to mention.
Better not to.
Mr. and Mrs. Peria and their mother, Sue Peria.
Tim was right.
Well, we're not mentioning anything. Mr. and Mrs. Rage Tea Party and their son, Vic Rage Tea Party.
From the Orient.
Yes, welcome.
But not with his wife, so we'll never know the truth. The wonderfully virile Bishop of Shanghai and his youngest son, him number 33.
Trying to follow that, but the door's jammed. Oh, no, they're in here. The clerical zoo gang. The Reverend Hush and his two puppies. His cat, Ekism. His crow, Zia. Luther, the papal bull.
and some yards behind, his skunk, affectionately known to us all as the family pew.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you pay careful attention, please, to the arrival of Mr. Sam Lila and Sam's son, Andy Lila.
Also for Mrs. Iced Milk and Pasta.
Turn your faces to the wall. An onrush of clerical streakers. The Nicholas Parsons.
No swearing in church, please. Will you lift up your hearts, please, to Mr. and Mrs. In Excelsis Deo and their daughter, Gloria.
At this point, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that the scores are Graham and Barry, 77, Tim and Willie, 104, the audience, 33. And it brings us...
A last desperate entrance by Mr. and Mrs. Spray and their daughter, Letty Spray, and her friend, Neil.
And we
squashed in the doorway.
You first.
No, it's all right, church doors are pretty big. Mr. and Mrs. E. Do Well. Their ecclesiastical son, Dean E. Do Well.
Mr. and Mrs. Ain and their daughter Audrey, who prefers to be known simply as Aud Ain.
And pray also silence for the host.
That's it.
Yes, that's all, ladies and gentlemen. So, till next time, thank you and good night.